Imagine like going to sleep on just a normal, quiet Friday night, and then you wake up to find out the entire artificial intelligence industry has just been completely rewritten.
I mean, it really was. That's exactly what happened.
Right, at midnight on July 10th, 2026. Like while you were maybe pouring a late night coffee or, just mindlessly scrolling through your feed, the tech world was experiencing basically a month's worth of explosive news in a matter of hours.
Oh, it was a complete system overload for anyone tracking the space. We saw the culmination of several like massive simmering storylines all just boiling over at the exact same moment.
And navigating that chaos is basically our mission for this deep dive. We are unpacking a comprehensive and frankly staggering report from Tech and Knight titled OpenAI's Night of Chaos, GPT 5.6, and the Resignation Bomb.
Yeah, that report is dense.
It is. We have a stack of breaking news detailing six simultaneous tech earthquakes here. And rather than letting you drown in the information overload, we are going to, cut through the noise, map out how these crises intersect, and extract the strategic insights that actually matter.
Because when you actually examine the sheer scope of what transpired in that tiny window, it paints a very clear, if somewhat intimidating, picture of where enterprise technology is heading over the next few years.
Exactly. I mean, the stakes are astronomical right now. We are talking about a highly anticipated AI model release immediately tangling with federal government surveillance.
Right.
Plus, we have a sudden market-moving executive departure, a brutal legal strike from the New York Times targeting the core model architecture.
It's just huge.
Right. And a high-profile consumer browser experiment completely imploding. Oh, and Microsoft deploying a specialized AI to aggressively hunt down flaws in its own operating system.
I mean, it is the definition of an industry paradigm shift, and it was all unfolding while most people were just trying to log off for the weekend.
Seriously. So
Yeah.
let's start with the technology itself. Understanding the raw, like unadulterated power of what OpenAI just shipped explains the intense gravitational pull it suddenly exerted on federal regulators. I am talking about GPT 5.6, internally codenamed Nightingale.
Which is finally out in the wild, though, heavily restricted.
Yes, so it launched to ChatGPT Plus users with a very strict limit of 100 messages per day, alongside, full availability for enterprise users. But the performance jumps in the benchmarks are not just incremental, they are genuinely
Oh,
staggering.
totally.
We are looking at a 28% improvement in complex coding capabilities compared to the previous GPT 4.5 Turbo. And get this, an even more massive 34% boost in mathematical reasoning.
And you really have to view those numbers through an enterprise lens. Like a 34% jump in mathematical reasoning fundamentally alters what an organization can actually automate.
Right, it's not just writing emails anymore.
Exactly. You are reliably automating complex financial modeling and deep logistical analysis. It's a whole different ballgame.
But the underlying capabilities are almost completely overshadowed by the sheer friction of getting this model to the public. I mean, GPT 5.6 was essentially held in house arrest for 2 weeks by the Trump administration.
Yeah, that was a massive standoff.
It was. And just to be clear to you listening, regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum regarding the administration's tech policies, we are just reporting the facts here. Their stated concern was purely about cybersecurity.
Right, they were looking at the raw capabilities.
Exactly. They argued that a model this capable could easily be leveraged to generate zero-day malware and execute like highly advanced social engineering attacks at scale.
The government basically recognized they were looking at a tool so potent that it effectively blurred the line between commercial software and a deployable cyber weapon.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the mechanical compromise OpenAI struck to escape this federal blockade is unprecedented. They implemented a mechanism called chain of thought reasoning specifically to satisfy the government's demand for transparency.
Which is a huge structural change.
Right. And to be clear, sensitive security queries are now subject to a government surveillance system. Now, for enterprise clients, that data is geofenced and only flagged for extreme red flags, things like weapons development or terrorism.
Sure, which makes sense for enterprise.
But for the average consumer, it's like building the world's fastest sports car. But to get it street legal, the government forces you to install a permanent dash cam and an engine governor that reports your telemetry straight to the authorities.
What's fascinating here is the technical reality of how that dash cam actually functions. Because chain of thought isn't merely a keyword filter sitting on top of the prompt.
Right, it's deeper than that.
Much deeper. It is a fundamental shift in inference. The model is now forced to generate intermediate reasoning tokens, like an internal scratch pad, if you will.
Okay.
So instead of just instantly outputting a brilliant piece of code, it has to document the math of how it arrived at that code, step by step. Regulators aren't just monitoring the input and output, they can actually audit that internal scratch pad to see if the AI was contemplating malicious intent along the way.
Wow. Which perfectly explains the user feedback pouring in today. People are complaining that the model's personality has completely changed. One user described it as acting like a cautious university professor.
That's actually a great analogy.
Right. It hesitates, it refuses to guess, and it takes far fewer risks because every logical step is being logged and potentially scrutinized by a federal algorithm.
Which brings us to the broader implications. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, immediately issued a severe warning about this.
Yeah, they were not happy.
Not at all. They are arguing that OpenAI just normalized AI surveillance infrastructure, effectively trading away user privacy for sheer capability. The EFF's point is that once you build an auditable backdoor for quote-unquote sensitive queries, you establish a permanent infrastructure for surveillance.
Like, who decides what the rules are later?
Exactly. Who defines what is deemed sensitive 3 years from now?
I hear that, but let me play devil's advocate for a second here. If this model genuinely has the capability to write a zero-day exploit that could take down a municipal power grid, isn't the EFF being a little naive? Like, don't we practically need a dash cam on something that approaches weapon-grade capability?
I mean, it is a completely valid counterpoint. The friction really lies in the slippery slope of implementation. The cybersecurity risk is undeniable. But the EFF is questioning whether the public will ever trust an AI as a private brainstorming partner again, you know, if they know a government auditor is constantly looking over the model's shoulder.
Yeah, it changes the entire psychological relationship we have with the machine. And, you know, the stress of navigating that tension, like building immensely powerful technology while managing federal demands, it really brings us to the human toll of this chaos.
It really does.
When you look at the sheer scale of what OpenAI is trying to execute, it suddenly puts Fiji Simo's departure into stark perspective.
It is a brutal reminder of key man risk at the mega cap level.
Yeah.
We tend to treat OpenAI like an unstoppable algorithmic force, but the market still desperately relies on the biological architects steering the ship.
Absolutely. So less than 3 hours after the GPT 5.6 launch, we learned that Fiji Simo, OpenAI's number two executive and their chief of AGI, is stepping down to a part-time advisor role.
Such a shock.
It was. I mean, she was brought on in 2025 with an $18 million compensation package. Former CEO of Instacart, a decade at Facebook, she was the executive tasked with actually humanizing the interface of artificial general intelligence.
And her departure is entirely medical.
Yeah. She has been battling a severe neuroimmune condition causing extreme fatigue since May of 2026. Her public statement was just heartbreaking, she said. I never thought my body would turn against me at the worst possible time.
It is tragic on a human level. And then on a strategic level, the financial ripple effects were immediate.
The market reacted instantly.
It did. OpenAI's secondary market valuation had just spiked to $90 billion on July 9th. But following Simo's announcement, Morgan Stanley issued a note predicting a 3 to 5% drop, essentially pulling their valuation back down to roughly $84 billion.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We are talking about a company that is practically writing the future of global computing. Should a $90 billion juggernaut really see its valuation wobble by billions of dollars just because a single executive takes medical leave? Doesn't that imply a massive structural fragility?
It implies a massive operational vacuum at the worst possible moment. A Wedbush analyst actually explicitly labeled her departure an operational risk.
Wow, that's blunt.
It is, but you have to look at the timeline. OpenAI is heading into Q3 2026, actively seeking a $100 billion valuation funding round. Institutional investors demand execution stability.
Right.
Simo wasn't just a figurehead. She was translating complex math into viable consumer products. Furthermore, she was only the second woman on OpenAI's senior management team.
That's a huge point.
Yeah, her exit creates a gaping void in diverse leadership perspectives at the exact historical moment they are defining how AGI will interact with global society.
And the timing is catastrophic. The leadership team is fracturing just as their core product architecture comes under existential threat.
Thaw lawsuit.
Yes. Because while they were dealing with the GPT 5.6 rollout and Simo's medical leave, the New York Times dropped an incredibly calculated legal bomb on them late Friday night.
This is a lawsuit that could fundamentally alter how generative AI is built.
So the Times filed a 12-page motion alleging that OpenAI deliberately hid a watermarking suppression tool. Now, context here. OpenAI had previously sworn in court that this suppression tool was merely a paper proof of concept that was never actually deployed.
Right, they said it was just theoretical.
Exactly. But the Times somehow obtained and leaked a February 2025 email from a senior OpenAI engineer. The email says, quote, "We need to decide whether we want to keep this detection system in the main model." Sorry, let me just read the quote directly without the pause. It says, "We need to decide whether we want to keep this detection system in the main model. It could potentially be used against us in court," which completely vaporizes the defense that it was just a theoretical concept. That email proves the tool was functional, it was in the model, and the decision to suppress the watermarking was driven entirely by legal fear, not by any technical limitation.
Man, the developer ecosystem erupted over this. An engineer at Anthropic actually tweeted, "We implemented source tracking in Claude from day one. We might be slower, but at least we sleep well at night."
Ouch.
Right. And the financial estimates tied to this revelation are staggering. JP Morgan modeling suggests that if OpenAI is forced to license this content legally, it will cost them $200 to $500 million annually.
This raises an important question, though, about the difference between financial penalties and architectural penalties. Goldman Sachs ran an analysis on this specific night of chaos and laid out three scenarios for OpenAI.
Okay, lay them out.
Scenario one is they win the lawsuit, which, given that leaked email, is highly improbable. Scenario two is they settle. Goldman estimates a $500 million to $1 billion payout plus ongoing licensing fees. That severely drains their war chest and likely forces them to delay their IPO from early 2027 to Q3 2027.
Which hurts, but scenario three is the one that really caught my eye, like the absolute doomsday scenario.
Scenario three alters the fabric of the tech industry. It assumes the court mandates forced attribution.
Wait, what does that actually mean in practice?
Meaning OpenAI cannot just write a check to make this go away. They are legally forced to rewrite their underlying model architecture so it natively cites its sources, much like an academic paper.
Which completely goes against the very nature of how a neural network functions. Like, you can't just slap a bibliography generator onto a large language model.
Precisely. You have to retrain the model to maintain the provenance of its weights.
Mm-hmm.
That requires billions in new R&D, sets their technology back by years, and pushes any potential IPO to at least 2028. It would instantly cool the entire venture capital market for generative AI.
So you have a company bleeding leadership, facing potentially billion-dollar architectural rewrites, and to top it all off, completely fumbling their consumer product strategy. Because amidst all of this, OpenAI also announced they are shutting down the ChatGPT Atlas browser on August 9th, 2026.
A product that launched less than a year ago, in September 2025. It is a textbook example of an engineering-led company completely misreading consumer behavior.
Totally. They needed 5 million monthly active users to justify the bandwidth and development costs, but they peaked at just 250,000.
Which is nothing at their scale.
Nothing. It was plagued by security bugs, but the truly fatal flaw was their refusal to support Chrome extensions. They tried to force users into this pristine walled garden. That meant no uBlock origin for ad blocking and no LastPass for password management.
They assumed the sheer novelty of an AI-native browser would convince power users to just abandon their entire established workflow.
Atlas feels like building a massive, state-of-the-art smart kitchen, but refusing to let the chef bring their own knives. Yes, the AI stove is incredible, but if I can't securely log into my bank account because I don't have my password manager, I'm going to go back to my old kitchen.
That's a perfect way to look at it.
Does this catastrophic failure prove that OpenAI needs to just stick to building the engine and stop trying to manufacture the entire car?
It definitely highlights their current identity crisis. Are they a foundational research lab pushing the absolute boundaries of physics and mathematics? Or are they a consumer tech company trying to wrestle screen time away from Google and Apple?
Right.
Executing both flawlessly is nearly impossible, especially when you are bleeding key executives like we just talked about.
Which provides a really fascinating contrast to what their biggest partner was doing on that exact same night. While OpenAI is bogged down fighting over consumer hardware and training data lawsuits, Microsoft had a profoundly different Friday night. Microsoft is turning AI inward.
It is a brilliant, highly pragmatic application of the technology.
Yeah. Microsoft announced that Project Sentinel, which is a highly specialized language model, is now actively deployed to hunt down security bugs inside the Windows operating system itself.
And the results are undeniable.
Yeah, over the last 3 months, this AI found 34% of all Windows vulnerabilities, up from just 12% previously. Microsoft expects that number to hit 50% by the end of the year.
The mechanism behind this is perfectly suited for a language model.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily running the code to see if it breaks. It is pattern matching the syntax.
Oh, interesting.
Right. It scans millions of lines of code looking for dangerous structural patterns, like potential buffer overflows, identifying flaws before a human hacker could ever exploit them.
But for the average person listening right now, this massive leap in cybersecurity comes with a highly visible, incredibly annoying side effect: more frequent Windows Update restarts. MIT researchers immediately published a warning about this, noting the high rate of false positives.
Because an AI lacks contextual common sense. It flags code that syntactically looks dangerous, even if that specific code functions perfectly safely within its broader environment.
It's like hiring a hypervigilant proofreader who stops the printing press every single time they spot a comma splice.
Yeah.
Yes, the grammar of the newspaper is technically safer, but the paper never actually gets delivered to the driveway.
Exactly.
And a cybersecurity source told Bleeping Computer that if Microsoft relies on this AI to double the frequency of their patches, they are doubling the risk of deploying a broken update that takes down critical systems.
Which is the ultimate double-edged sword. You're successfully replacing human blind spots with algorithmic paranoia.
Right.
The AI might uncover a vulnerability that no human engineer would have found in a decade. But the sheer velocity of AI discovery is completely outpacing the human capacity for quality assurance. A human still has to rush that patch out, and in doing so, they might introduce a new, very real bug that crashes a hospital's IT network.
So what does this all mean for us? Are we about to be stuck in a never-ending purgatory of blue Windows needs to restart screens just because an algorithmic hall monitor keeps tapping Microsoft on the shoulder?
It's a very real possibility. Though it is worth noting the context here, Google and Apple have actually been using machine learning to quietly hunt bugs in Android and iOS since 2023.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they just didn't publicize it. By aggressively branding it as Project Sentinel, Microsoft is forcing a new industry standard. Everyone will now have to admit they use AI to write and police their own code.
And that brings everything full circle. From government dash cams on language models to AI policing the Windows kernel, if we zoom out and look at this entire night of chaos, what is the ultimate takeaway?
If you synthesize all of these events, the federal surveillance, the executive burnout, the legal threats, the product failures, July 10th, 2026 marks the definitive end of AI's startup era.
Wow.
The honeymoon phase of moving fast and breaking things is over. We are now looking at a mature, heavily corporatized industry facing a brutal pincer movement.
A tightening grip from all sides.
Exactly. On one side, you have mounting legal and regulatory pressures, like the EU AI Act taking full effect in 2027, which will demand exactly the kind of architectural transparency the New York Times is suing for.
Right.
And on the other side, companies are navigating massive geopolitical divides. China's regulatory framework heavily prioritizes state censorship over intellectual property protection. So American models are fighting a two-front war, defending their training data against domestic lawsuits while competing against heavily subsidized models abroad.
Which leaves us with a truly provocative landscape to consider. If major corporate AI models, you know, the OpenAIs, the Microsofts, are increasingly forced into this corner where they become heavily censored, legally timid, burdened by government dash cams, and bleeding capital from licensing fees, it makes you wonder about the future of innovation.
It really does.
Will the next massive paradigm-shifting leap in AI actually bypass these corporations entirely? Could the real breakthrough come from underground, unregulated, open-source developers who are building decentralized models where the New York Times can't serve a subpoena and the government can't audit their reasoning scratch pads?
It is a fascinating premise. When the corporate establishment is forced to build walls, the true innovators inevitably start digging tunnels. Looking at all these intersecting crises, you know, the surveillance mechanisms, the human toll, the legal battles, and the product failures, what stands out to you?
That is the perfect question to leave you with. This was a massive amount of highly complex information to process, but by taking this deep dive into the mechanics of the chaos, hopefully the stakes of the AI industry feel a lot clearer today. We know your time is valuable, so thank you for spending it with us as we unpack the night the tech world was forced to grow up. Keep questioning the algorithms, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.